time for two-a-days. Time to get ready for football. Time for the sports injury experts of Southern Nevada over at Crivetti Orthopedics, Dr. Michael Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinniger. They are here with us on the Press Box Morning Show. We'll go over the several injury updates throughout the NBA, Major League Baseball, as we are here with the sports injury experts over at Crivetti Orthopedics, iCanAgain.com. Good morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Guys, how are you?
Good morning.
Great to be back on, Clay.
Well, it's cool having you in. So, you know, but we know you're busy because you guys got appointments today. But you know, we give you some ideas of like what we'd like to talk about. And in the NBA, there was two injuries that kind of like really kind of stuck out. As you talk about Game One of the NBA Finals, we have Kevin Durant, who is not playing with a left calf strain, and maybe he won't play at all. We're trying to find out and decipher like how strong of the grade of left calf strain is. And when it comes to maybe a grade two, that's what it was feared to be. And he hasn't played since May 8th, right? So what would you start like progressing? Maybe just as an observation, we know how big he is. He's a 7 foot. When you have a left calf strain, how much do you take time off to let this heal, especially when you're in a high impact sport like the NBA Finals?
He's got to prove that he can practice first, and what I was reading suggests that they don't even have him practicing with the team. He's still in his rest phase. So until he doesn't hurt at rest, he won't be able to practice, and there's no chance he's playing until he can be a full participant and doing good work in practice. So it does not look soon.
Reverse technology, if you aren't practicing by this point, which is almost 4 weeks after, what would you maybe estimate what kind of grade this is of the calf injury?
That fits into that grade two.
Okay.
Grade one just a stretch or a little strain. Grade two, you're talking about a partial tear. Is that 25%? Is that 75%? We don't know. Grade three, you get to a complete rupture. And so he's in somewhere in that gray zone of almost all or barely a little, but there is tearing if he's in that grade two category. Of course, they don't tell us the number, but...
No, if they do something like, let's say they go down 2-0 or even on Sunday night and people kind of consider it, I don't know if it's desperation or an overreaction to losing game one, and all of a sudden he's on the floor. If it was a grade two when he tore it, there's probably no chance he's 100%. If they just say he's his, I'll go. The chance he could go to a grade three or completely grade three or completely tear it. I mean, good chance or depending on how he plays.
If he plays on a high grade two and he's not ready yet, yeah, he can tear the whole thing.
He won't be able to play on a high grade two.
He wouldn't be able to play.
No. He just won't play. And obviously, it's not a three. Or they would have already told us he's out.
Right.
He's done. Because that would be pretty clear at this point. So either he's somewhere between a 1 and 2, and he's got a chance of coming back and playing here in the next game, especially if they go down 2-0, or he risks the rupture, and we won't see him.
I think it's going to be fascinating, because if they go down 2-0, and all of a sudden he's playing in game 3, I don't think they would do that, because I think at that time it would be, they'd be like, you guys are just desperate until you're going to put this guy on the floor here. And then if something does happen to him, then you really look bad when something happens to him. Is this a
liability?
Is a high two? Obviously, a high two is not a surgery because he didn't have it. If he had done a three, would it have been surgery?
Depends where it's torn. If it's torn inside the tendon, then yeah. If it's torn where the muscle meets the tendon, there's not a lot of repair to be done.
Okay. This is commonly also called, you might have heard it before, it's called tennis calf. And it occurs on one part of the calf. There's two gastrocs. That's the name of the muscle group. And one of these is called tennis calf. And that's often where the muscle meets the tendon. The frustration is there is no repair for it.
So it's just rest.
It's rest.
Okay.
Now you're talking 12 weeks, especially with a complete rupture for a jumping athlete using the calf.
There's no way this guy's playing then.
I don't think he's playing.
I don't think he's playing.
It does not look good.
No. Kawhi Leonard had the quad, kept him out most of last season. He, in the Eastern Conference Finals, something happened to where he wasn't 100%. He kind of fought through it. And yet last night, 23-8-5, and he's back. There was at one point in the Eastern Conference Finals when he went down the lane, he went off the wrong foot, and they made the assumption, okay, it's hurt again, because he would have gone off the other foot. Now, he still dunked the ball because he's Kawhi Leonard, but what about a quad injury with him? This seems like something other than like Durant. Kawhi can play through even if he's not 100%.
Yeah, this has nagged him, and when you watch the replays, he's hurting.
You can tell something.
Can tell
he's not 100%.
He does not feel right,
okay.
And it's a minor strain or a low grade injury because he's pushing through it, and they wouldn't let him push through it if it was a more severe injury. But the aches and pains, they're not going away through this series. He's going to continue to give us those grimaces and those sore episodes. But clearly, he's stout enough, strong enough, he's just going to push through it and enjoy this series and do what he can for his team.
The quad is the quad's huge where it attaches to the patella, to the kneecap up top. It's a huge insertion. So if he's got some partial tear and he can push through,
he can push
through the pain. Okay. He doesn't risk the same rupture that Durant did with the calf.
Okay.
He doesn't risk that same. And there's not a great repair. It is a time deal for healing.
For him, again, it's also just time.
Yeah, you don't want to start putting stitches in and committing somebody to 6 months of rehab if you don't need to.
Okay.
Because we were worrying if this was going to be a reoccurring or chronic injury that, you know, he's playing a lot of minutes and they're high impact. But we wondered, why was he sitting out so much with the Spurs when he had that? We wondered how injury could actually go and maybe, like, could this be something that he always has to deal with? Because if it's coming up now, it almost seems like there's a pattern of this injury. And is this something that can follow you during your career?
It sure could. I mean, you're seeing, and we have a few guys to talk about today that are dealing with these chronic pains, right, aches, and can they push through it and participate, which Kawhi clearly can, or does it shut him down? And he's not letting it shut him down. He's still there. He's still pushing hard, playing a lot of minutes, scoring points.
You know, off season's right around the corner, right?
So,
you know, he gets through this, and he takes the time, and he really does shut it down afterwards. And they start using things like PRP and some of these other real innovative treatments to accelerate his healing. But bottom line, they get an opportunity to shut him down and let him heal.
We're speaking with Michael Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinneger, our good friends over at Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online to iCanAgain.com. Getting you back in your game. Oh, my God. We got the Dodgers. No Dodger injuries to talk about. Isn't
there is
nice?
A Dodger injury to talk about. We're going to talk about A.J. Pollock, but thanks for checking in on that, and we're going to ask the doctors right now about that. But
we'll skip it.
Won again last night, 2-0 against the Mets. He has a right elbow infection, 10-day DL, out at least six more weeks. So kind of it said he went went surgery to clear up an infection and surgically repaired right elbow. So baseball player throws a ball or whatever he does to injure his elbow. Obviously it's internally. I think when people the lay people out there who listen to you guys, obviously they know there can be an internal infection. It just sounds different when you say a right elbow infection. So when they went in to repair it, obviously then does the infection manifest from that, like a right elbow infection? It just sounds crazy. The infection I think I have in my knee, or you cut yourself or something like that. So how does this manifest itself after they go in and repair this guy's elbow?
Well, it sounds like he's had two repairs previously. Okay. Couple surgeries before where some hardware was placed in, episode where he strains it swells, and anytime you get swelling, a pocket of fluid, bacteria can find its way to that spot. So,
and how dangerous or painful could that be?
It can be real painful. It can completely shut you down. And if you don't take care of it, it can make you sick to the point where you're in the hospital on antibiotics because your whole body becomes infected. So it can lead to sepsis is the bad term, and most people have heard of sepsis. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, from the sound of this, he has a PICC line, which is a long-term IV, and that's where antibiotics are put straight into the core of your body so it gets to your whole body. The hardware gets taken out, the infection gets washed really thoroughly, and that's what he's dealing with. And you don't play with a PICC line in your body, that's for sure.
The big concern here is the big concern here is not, let's not let the infection get in the bone. If infection gets in bone, it becomes a lifelong problem. It can recur over and over, even 10, 15 years, that infection, that bone can recur.
Could that affect someone's career whose career is to throw a baseball?
100%. Okay. And that's the whole idea behind the PICC line. Whether it be a little bit of overkill or not, doesn't matter. Those IV antibiotics are the strongest and best way to prevent that infection from getting to that bone. And that'll keep it playing.
Oh, no. Yeah, well, I was smiling earlier today.
We're like 20-something games over 500. I don't know how much we need the guy at this point, but I'd like him back at some point this season.
See, he's just happy we're not talking about Clayton Kershaw in the back, so that's good.
Don't even get if I see that on the list next time, you won't see me in, or I'll be at home under covers in the dark room.
If you're struggling with hip, knee, or shoulder elbow problems, give Crivetti Orthopedics a try. Go CrivettiOrtho.com. Of course, ICanAgain.com as well. We talk about the Yankees and Giancarlo Stanton, and there's so much money invested on him, yet he continues to find time on the DL. It started with a bicep strain and then worked its way to a shoulder strain. What would be a bicep strain? Because we've seen torn biceps before destroy people's career. How strong is that when you start to say, all right, from bicep to right shoulder strain, what do you start looking for as like a timetable not only to return, but this seems like something that's just going to follow him all season?
Well, I think his bicep, obviously, bicep's part of the shoulder. Right, inserts in the shoulder. Was his bicep strain distal, or was it in his shoulder?
They talked about injury at his elbow and at his shoulder, so he had pain in both spots. And that, like Dr. Crivetti suggests, that muscle crosses the elbow and the shoulder. So if it is all his biceps, I mean, the whole system can be sore from the elbow up into the shoulder. And then as he tries to recover, he hurts his calf. So a bad spell. Sounds like he's just struggling with aches and pains, soreness. Nothing on this sounds like he shouldn't be able to recover, but it's taken him a little trip off the majors.
I think they're dealing with a lot of injuries as it is, but this is one that
still good.
They still can't get him on the field.
I know, and they're paying him a lot of money. He's got bumps and bruises all over that body. Yeah, you wonder if it's all natural. I do want to ask you guys this.
Sure.
You know, this was actually a fascinating story that came out on ESPN, and I know we put it on the timeline here. So there was a UCLA softball pitcher, Stevie Wiz, who the Bruins are in the College World Series right now.
That's right.
I thought this was amazing. So she has there's a leak in the aorta, which is severe. She's had heart problems for a long time, had surgeries, went to the cardiologist for the valve repairs, and she has to have another surgery, as I'm sure you both know. And they said, you can go play. Just the thought of that would scare and frighten me if I'm her family. And even if it's UCLA, it's cardiologist. I'm assuming this cardiologist might be one of the best in the world if he's at UCLA and all that. But even those people telling me that, it would so scare me that, you know, if I see her running or warming up. But can you lessen people's fears? If the cardiologist looked at that, the guess is they wouldn't put her near a field if, in fact, he thought whatever was going on with the aorta could rupture or could really be a tragic ending.
It's the same thing we talk with patients about all the time regarding muscle strains and injuries in their musculoskeletal system. So muscles, bones, tendons. If you have an injury that makes playing more difficult but is not going to severely injure you going forward, then we let people go to tolerance. And okay, we'll say, hey, you know what, you might have to go half speed, but you don't have to not go.
Okay.
And so the injury I was reading and that she's suffering with is stenosis of the aorta, which is narrowing of that aorta. So the more active you are, the less your heart can keep up with the activity.
Okay.
And it's the same if you have a calf strain. If you go full speed and you can't go because your calf's hurting, then tone it back. You can probably still be on the field, but if you go full go, it's going to slow you down and stop you.
Okay.
And you know, and of course, orthopedic injuries don't kill you like that.
Yeah,
but
I can promise you she has had the most extensive testing that's available to man.
To put her on that field.
Or to woman in this case.
Right.
But no doubt she has had the most extensive testing you can have, and she wouldn't be on that field unless she could perform at that level. The fact that she's had multiple surgeries, the things that injure us or kill us are things we don't know about. The things we know about, especially in our world when we take somebody to surgery, the things we don't know about are the things that scare us. The things we know about are the things we treat, the things we optimize, and make sure that surgery is safe.
Right.
So in this case, it's no different.
Okay.
What did you think about the Dustin Pedroia injury that I sent you to earlier this week? We talked about it on Monday and on Tuesday, rather. Like, you know, he's not far removed from the MVP years, but whatever happened to him, he cannot get back in the field. It's almost been 2 years. He's had less than 30 at-bats. He almost thinks he can't play every day, which means he probably needs to retire. What did you think of some of the surgeries that he had, and why does he feel he can't play every day?
The success of a cartilage restoration procedure, as far as getting a guy back to Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. is about 80%. And nobody wants to be the 20%, but I'm not seeing a lot of proof that he's going to be the 80% up to this point.
Right.
I mean, he had the surgery, which you hope was a success. And could it be a success to get him through a long time in his life before he needs a knee replacement? Potentially, maybe. But it does not, at this point, sound like he's getting back to his career. He had a follow-up surgery to remove scar tissue and is still struggling. And you hate to say it, but somebody's in the 20%, and it sounds like this guy might be in that 20%.
Yeah, that second, what a shame, man.
That second procedure gave them a second look.
Okay.
So they performed the restoration procedure. And just so we're clear on cartilage, it's very difficult, if not impossible, to actually grow cartilage. So a cartilage cell doesn't have blood. It's not alive. So in order to restore it, we're actually using what we call scar cartilage or different types of cartilage as opposed to what God gave us, which obviously can't be replaced.
So does, I assume this is maybe not, does his age have everything to do with it? If he's 21 with the same surgeries and the same kind of trajectory of this? Could his career have ended at 21, or would he have had a better shot of survive, or not surviving is a bad word, but going on and playing? He's 35.
A lot of the repairs in the knee are much more successful the younger you are. If you catch a cartilage injury earlier, and if you take a graft and potentially transplant a piece of cartilage versus try to just stimulate new cartilage growth, there's things we can do that are more successful the younger you get.
Okay.
The older you get, unfortunately, the harder it can become. It's like a meniscus. I mean, it's super hard to repair a meniscus as you get older.
We'll talk about transplants, right? One of the things we do is we do transplant surgery. And it's really amazing, actually, for these isolated areas in the knee where they are missing cartilage. And they're generally sized between a nickel and a quarter. Quarter is about the upper limit. But you can actually transplant from somebody else's knee and really perform at a high level. That procedure is really fantastic. And the cutoff is generally about 50, right? I mean, okay. God, that makes me not a candidate anymore.
I'm five more years away.
I said 52. 52 is the upper limit of that. 52.
Well, but you said the meniscus. Is there an age where guys tear them and they come in, you say, what do you do? Guy mid-50s, 60s, what do you do on meniscus? Do you try to repair it, or is it just so hard that it's more the rehab and this is what you're going to be with going forward?
The type of tear and how old it is has everything to do with can it be even considered.
Okay.
There are certain tears that there's just no way you cannot repair them. And there's other tears that, hey, that's almost the entire meniscus. I know you're 50, but if we take this out, your whole meniscus is blown. And you have a frank talk with them and say, I hate to take out your entire meniscus, but this really might not heal, unfortunately.
Okay. And you're talking 3%, 3 to 4% of all meniscus tears are repairable, because that small portion of them actually still has blood flow to the area where you want to repair. So it's a real small number as we get older. Now, you wheel that back to a 14, 15, and 16-year-old that we see all the time.
Right.
Now, we go into the surgery repairing the meniscus first.
Right.
And that's usually our goal, is to save that meniscus, because that leads to a long-term problem with the knee.
Okay.
We're doing Facebook Live at ESPN Las Vegas, and Chris James has chimed in. He says, I keep hearing about these guys on your show. I'm going to see them about my sore knee. And I think that's kind of like how it all starts, isn't it? The process where people come in and they start, you know, they trying to find out in their everyday. They're not weekend warriors, or maybe they're just trying to get through their everyday job. But it starts with a sore knee, and then where does it go from there, right? Because it takes a certain prognosis. But you guys do a great job of just getting people back in their game. You know what I mean? Like, people who feel like, you know, especially when, like, summer approaches or when they want to go and take vacation, they always feel held back by their own injuries. But you guys find a really good way of restoring people's lifestyle.
It's amazing. Everybody has their game, right? Whether your game's vacation, whether your game's softball, pickleball, whether it's training for football, everybody's got their game. We all have our game. This is our game right here, right? In the radio, everybody's got their game. So when you're out of your game, all you want to do is get back, and that's where a sore knee turns into maybe even a simple injection, and you're back in your game. So a lot of different things we can do to get you back in there.
What do you think about people who try to go and find, you know, maybe like when they come and see you, Dr. Caleb Pinniger's with us. He was with Dr. James Andrews for a fellowship for a year. When you see people that try to, like, all right, I have a son that wants to get into football, and he's going to have to deal with OTAs, and there's a whole summer of hardcore work that's going to be done. What do you try to tell the parents as well as the students? Like, how do you prepare for that, and what should you start to maybe think about expecting as far as, like, the grinds on your body?
The grinds on the body are huge, and the sudden increase in exposure and activity and intensity will shut you down if you're not ready for it. And so over the summer, you can't sit on the couch eating potato chips, watching TV. You got to be active still. If you jump into 2-a-days and you're not ready, within 3 weeks, you're going to be really hurting and maybe still be able to play through it. But if you can be smart and prepare yourself for that, you get through 2-a-days, you're onto the season, and you're feeling great. And so keep yourself healthy. Keep yourself active. It's summer. Enjoy it. But don't just sit and waste and think that, oh, I'm young, I got this, and 2-a-days are going to be no problem.
You guys might have to be fixing the thumb finger of James Holzhauer, this Jeopardy kid from Vegas. My God. He's going to be visiting you soon. He keeps winning and winning and winning. Yeah. That's got to have some kind of carpal issues here with this guy pushing this button so much. You can fix it.
Severe tendonitis. That's awesome. What a star this guy is, right? I mean, what a star. He was at the Knights game. He's like not to mention, seems like just an awesome guy, right? So an awesome guy from Vegas tearing it up. Nationally, what a great opportunity.
Amazing, amazing guy. Awesome. Amazing guy.
So what would you also tell parents who have maybe their kids are in swimming throughout the year competitively, and then they want to go and continue on during the summer? You've often talked about taking breaks, like, or find another sport. Is that what would you say is like the most important? Taking a 6 week off, or maybe just instead of swimming, find basketball.
Cross training. Right?
Cross training.
I mean, there's the cross training mindset gets lost in our current society of year-round sports.
Travel ball.
You got spring, yep. You got travel, you got school, and if you don't cross train, your body gets too used to the same activity, and that activity begins to overuse you. And if you get overused, you're not going to be able to be a year-round athlete anymore. So find something that's fun, something that's entertaining, exercise a different muscle group, and be a well-rounded athlete. Being well-rounded is the best thing you can do in every aspect of your life, especially sports.
That's such great advice. You know, I was a three-sport athlete back in high school and played a little college ball, and I have to tell you, I never wanted to stop. I never wanted time off. I didn't need to be shut down. I didn't have to do that. I just wanted to do something different. You know, when it came time and baseball season was over in the summer, I just couldn't wait to pick up that football and start throwing it around. When football was done, I couldn't wait to jump into basketball season. So it wasn't about being shut down and resting and really having to let things, quote-unquote, heal. It was about doing something different. So fantastic advice, Caleb.
That's Dr. Awesome. Michael Crivetti and Dr. Caleb Pinneger from Crivetti Orthopedics. Go online to ICanAgain.com and check it out for yourself. Of course, everyone around the Valley knows the great work that Crivetti Orthopedics does, but you need to find it out for yourself, especially if you're dealing with your normal everyday back pain, hip pain, shoulder pain, elbow pain, bursitis, for God's sakes. You cover it all.
I think he's still suffering, but we haven't revisited it in a while. I feel bad.
I need to bring that horse needle back.
Bring it back.
Yeah, bring that big needle back and let's get this done, because he's this poor man's walking around with a limp.
So you better just walk in the door with that needle.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I enjoy taking pictures of it, but I see him limping and I think about you that we need to get more needles in this man's back.
That's what I'm here for. You guys got a great summer going on. Are you getting ready for us and doing some like a water skiing? Are you when this is all done? What do you like to do in the summer, Mike?
Yeah, we like to travel quite a bit. Yeah. Get down there to Newport, get out of this heat a little bit, spend some time on the beach. We got rid of our kids a couple of years ago, so Mom and I are just hanging out.
Did you hear that,
wow.
Ed?
And this is the fall. We're empty nesters this fall.
Oh, yeah, no syndrome. No. I don't know what they're talking about. Empty nester syndrome.
No, my God. I mean,
they keep telling me about something that's going to happen. I'm going to go into this depression. Well, let me tell you something.
There's no depression.
There's no syndrome.
No, exactly. I was booking all my Raider trips, and all of a sudden she's walking in the office and saying, book me too. All of a sudden this empty nest is starting to cost me a lot of money, along with the two college educations.
Mike and I, we are light years from that, aren't we?
I got a long way to go. I mean, I got a six-week-old. You guys are not painting a pretty picture.
Oh, man.
Well, gentlemen, thanks again for coming in. We really appreciate
it. Thank you, fellas.
Thanks for having
us. Thanks very much.
Go online, ICanAgain.com, and find out more about how Crivetti Orthopedics can get you back in your game. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about the noise that's going on in Houston, as well as go over the lines released from the Golden Nugget in your college football games of the year with Bilo. Coming up this hour.
Hey, it's Flo with a super weird word, nightgown. If you ask me.